Doing your shopping on Amazon.com is more convenient than having somebody come to your house, clean your toilet by hand, then massage your feet, and then make you dinner. Yes, that's right. And they've got the best prices on everything you need as well. So go ahead and do yourself a favor and do your shopping at Amazon.com and start with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's also been known to last for only 14 seconds, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Opposite Worlds Week 3, Episode 6 recap. And boy, oh boy, what a crazy night. Another Team Epoch ill-conceived decision in the Duel of Destiny leads to yet another debacle here on back-to-back weeks of just really, they did not think this through at all. And it was a molly-whopping, to use a timeout with T.O. term, in the Duel of Destiny tonight as Frank makes short work of Angela. And here to talk about it all is our panel of experts here. Here he is. You know, you've seen him all week long. It's Clark week. Here he is. It's the tabulator, Kurt Clark. And we know that the tabulator can count to 14.
Yeah, at least. So, hi, everybody.
Yeah. How you doing, tabulator?
Pretty good.
Yeah. And also with us is a man who has been following all of this very closely. He is even upset about last night's worldly challenge. Here he is Brian Lynch.
Hello, everyone. I'm doing exceptionally well.
Oh, Brian, that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a night on Opposite Worlds. We're going to talk about it all. Of course, we are live. If you want to get your comments into the show, either use the hashtag RHAP or then go ahead and you could just comment on the video on YouTube by clicking the video if you're watching us live. Or, of course, if you want to watch the video after the fact, check us out on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. So everybody buzzing tonight about we all wanted to see Frank go into the worldly challenge. Did either of you guys think that it was going to be as much of a bloodbath as it was?
I didn't personally. I don't know about Brian.
Well, I mean, when she chose to be chased by Frank, that's just something that you probably wanted to avoid. I thought right then that it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
But she was destroyed. Frank come down, was just like, boom, and all those things flew all over, and it was over.
Yeah. I think if she hadn't run right toward him, if she just run in the opposite direction, away is usually a key element of being chased, she might have actually done better. It seemed like there were some things that she could just lead him in circles around, and I was looking forward to seeing how she was going to play that.
That line she had? She had to go through. If she'd have just stopped in the middle, that might have been her best bet to stay away from Frank.
She seemed surprised that Frank just knocked over all of the obstacles. That seemed to be startling to her.
Maybe she thought they were firmly planted in the ground, like stuck in the ground, but even that probably wouldn't have stopped Frank.
Now, it would hard to have been worse for Angela tonight, but do you think hindsight... We'll go through all of the hindsight, but let's start with hindsight. Would she have been better off to be the chaser rather than the chasee?
I think so, right?
Hard to be worse off, right?
Yeah, because it looked like the way that that course was set up is you could go anywhere. It was pretty much a playground that you had to be chased through. And if it involved making a snap decision, okay, I just left here and now I'm going to run here, Frank might have frozen as to what to do, so maybe that would have helped her. I don't know.
Perhaps if you're chasing Frank, it's more like a bull in a china shop, though. He would hit those things that all fall over in front of him, and he'd just not be able to get away from her. I mean, that's the only way she could have had a chance against him.
Yeah, it seemed like the key was that once Frank was able to just barrel through those things, it was over. Like, if those things were like tree trunks and he had to run around them, then maybe she might have had a chance. But just very ill-fated decision. I was against this idea from the get-go to go put Frank into the Duel of Destiny.
And it was her idea to go after Frank, which was great because in the end it came back around to bite her in the butt, you know. Well, it was your idea. Now, why don't you go take him on? But they gave her an out. They gave her an out and said, well, you can pick yours. It may have been the mistake they made with Wyatt the week before, but they gave her an out, and she decided she wanted to go against that.
Yeah, and on a good note, we finally saw Epic win a challenge. It was just the coin toss.
Yeah. I mean, but for Team Epoch, this was a bad idea from the get-go. Now, is there any chance that they could win a worldly challenge now at this point? They've lost in back-to-back weeks now. They've lost Wyatt, who was a really great asset in the challenges, and Angela, who had a previous Duel of Destiny under her belt. So they lost two of their best competitors. Now they are really, really outgunned in these challenges.
Right. Go ahead, Kurt, please.
I was going to say, we're halfway through the series now, too. I wouldn't be surprised if sometime this week we end up seeing some sort of shuffling of teams or something.
Forget a shuffling of the teams. Don't we need to eliminate like six people next week? How are we getting down? There's six episodes left. In the net total of the six episodes we've seen, we are down two people. We've lost four people, and we've added two more. So somehow we've lost only two people total from the number which we started. And there are only six episodes left. The finale is 3 weeks from tonight, and so is the premiere of Survivor. It's February. And so we somehow have to get rid of... How many people are left in the game? 10 people are left?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so somehow we need to get rid of nine people.
Two words, Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble? Is that what we're doing?
They probably, you know, put them all. I'm not sure if that's the correct WWE event that I'm thinking of, but where everybody gets in the ring and you throw everybody out and last person standing wins. Something like that, where it's a one-on-one-on-one-on-one competition maybe at the end.
A worldly rumble.
A worldly rumble. That's exactly. Right. What should Team Epoch have done? What would have been the better call to do with this challenge?
You know, Wyatt's, your interview with Wyatt, he had an interesting point in regards to just taking out somebody from the other team.
Yeah.
Might make them lose momentum. This was something, you know, but they heard speed and agility, and they thought that they would potentially have this. Again, I don't know if they have to lock in their decisions before they see the challenge course or not. I personally, it might be the only person tonight that didn't think it was a bad idea. I think if she had just run in the opposite direction, there were tunnels that she could have ducked down. She could have gone back into that thing that Frank had to crawl through. I think that if she just had run the opposite direction, she might have stood a chance.
Yeah. Ian Terry, he's following the show along on Twitter. He was very pro Angela. He said he thought she was a great competitor and very strategic, but then he took that back once she decided to put herself into the Duel of Destiny, and says now she may have stood a chance if she went under the glass maze and laid with her back on the ground. A better idea would have been to be the chaser.
I thought the exact same thing, that he was thinking that if you could go through that, it would have been a lot harder for Frank to catch you, and it'd be a lot harder for him to reach your back just because of the position of that crawl space.
Yeah, she only had to get through a minute. Like, and it's amazing that it was as short as it did. Like, she only needed to stay away from him for 1 minute, and it was 14 seconds. It was really ridiculous.
But, you know, the production team is thanking her for not having to put Frank on the zip line and just to see if it could actually hold him. That would have been interesting to see as well.
That was very good. Did you guys think that Frank was gracious after winning the Duel of Destiny tonight?
Definitely. Come on.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
I liked in his analogy that Frank said, look, I'm Rocky and Team Epoch is Drago. How is Team Epoch Drago in this analogy?
How is
Frank the underdog in this story?
We may be Drago. He said, well, he's through with us.
America, I'm through with you. It's disgusting.
Beast mode from here on out.
Beast mode. So it was beast mode for Frank. How about America? A total 180 now on Jesse. What's the right word? Schizophrenic? Are we as voters that last week Jesse was our least favorite player, and this week Jesse is our most favorite player?
Well, I think it was his talk about wanting to go on Tuesday night's show, saying, you know what, we should go into the past. We should, whether we throw the challenge or we get to choose, we should be the ones that go into the past. I think that contrasted with Mercy's reaction to him helped bump him up.
Yeah. That was really, really insane. That whole thing. What about the rivalry now between Jesse and Mercy? Where did this come from?
I don't know.
What's she throwing his Mercy. Face? You can't get over breaking someone's leg. She wasn't even there. She's just throwing
she
that
out
She
heard about there. It. She heard about it from people. Mercy is really out of line there, right?
Yeah.
I think she had I agree with her. If I win the Worldly Challenge, I don't want to go live in the past. I don't think that's what's going on, that people are just voting for people in the past. If so, why is Jesse now up there is a favorite?
According to Nick Fishman in the chat room, he's saying that Angela was number one and then she got eliminated. And so then Jesse became number two by de facto. So very, very strange turn of events to go from zero to hero.
About Jesse, and part of the reason that his popularity might be bumping up is because Jeff Rye has been throwing all sorts of shade his way, and he's obviously at the low point. So And what's his name's been playing really to America ever since he crushed Charles's leg.
Yeah. Jesse figured out the game. That Jesse knows what's going on, as opposed to Jeff Rye, as Brian called him. That this guy, I don't want to hear about how he's a strategic genius, Jeff Rye, because he's not. The guy is all over the place. I mean, he says he's being strategic, and then he's doing the like, "What? Oh, I wasn't crying. Come on, man. No, that wasn't." But he totally was crying for real. I'm not buying that for one second.
See, whereas I thought he was pulling it, like he maybe had the same glandular condition that Rachel Riley has, where she cries but no tears come out. And I thought he was faking it too, and Danielle was just going to not buy it at all.
Brian, what's your take? Fry, is he crying? Fry or cry? What do you say?
He's crying. I mean, there's these moments. If you get busted, right, you feel that surge of emotion. You can cry, you can run away, you can do whatever you're going to do. But if you're in a situation where you think it just let the tears fly might be the best thing, you can access that and let it happen. But those tears seemed like he was busted tears.
Yeah.
And he already sunk his ship way before that, though, by running his mouth.
Definitely. Definitely.
He's the only person on the show, I think, that's into the home audience, you know, specifically trashing another player. Like, going at somebody, at least in the form of Jesse, and it doesn't seem like America's appreciating that.
And when they drug him and JR out to have that little alliance meeting, JR was talking about how some people on his team know that they have a close relationship, and that was something I didn't really know either. I thought it was a whole secret.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit, because I was a little unclear how the show was framing that conversation. What did they tell the other players to say, like, that we're going to have a now one-on-one conversation with Fry and JR?
Well, I thought that they had said, I thought that Luke had said, you know, the other players don't know that we're having this conversation out here with you. But then they marched them all out of the house, and you can frankly, you see them standing there. So it's like, but now they know. But maybe I misheard Mr.
He said they were sequestered. And
Blast
the scene in the house. They're all sitting there together, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they were doing.
That was weird. So much weird stuff with Fry in the last two episodes. Now he gets busted really on his own. It's on his own fault here that they're talking about putting him into the Worldly Challenge, and he says, "Well, I can't go into the challenge against JR." Which, and they're like, "Well, why can't you go into the challenge against JR?" And then he got like super defensive and said, I just can't, okay? It's not because of any reason in particular. I just don't want to go up against him, okay? Like, all right. And it was really, his cover was really blown from there.
Now his game is, I don't want to go in there, period. And by putting against JR out there, he's just ruined his entire game, and perhaps JR's.
Yeah. And then he went and then got busted while he was trying to talk through the glass, which all of us said last week, well, how come nobody heard him when he was throwing the sandwiches over? And now here comes Danielle, who catches him talking to Fry and catches him saying, they're trying to put us against each other in the challenge. And she's just like, what's going on in here? And
then I think I might know what the tears were about, Rob. It's that when he was busted having that conversation with JR, he was in the bathroom. It was almost like he was busted by his mom in the bathroom, you know?
Mm-hmm. And oh, so I know.
Just, like, broke him down. He went in defense mode.
Now, let me just ask a question about the geography of the house. So there's in the bathroom, there's a glass window. You could watch the other team into the bathroom.
Yes.
That seems like a poor design in the house.
I think it kind of matches, from my understanding, the rooms match up. Like if you're in your bathroom, you can look into the other bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think
and the yards are like that.
Isn't their bathroom off the back? No, wait. I'm trying to get the geography of it. Yeah, I'm not sure what she meant by that, because it's not like, looked like they were in the backyard when they were talking.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to put out a map for us.
I think so. Let's talk a little bit about Danielle, who had not had a lot of airtime previous to this. Now, here comes Danielle talking all about how she wants to play opposite worlds with integrity. Who the hell cares about integrity in opposite worlds?
Not me.
And she got the, because I was watching the popularity index, and it looks like they froze it at about 20 minutes to the end of the show. And when we see the results next week, it looks like Danielle was like right above Jeffrey in terms of popularity. So she was like second least popular.
Yeah.
So that also did not resonate with America.
Yeah, they did not like her battle cry of integrity in the opposite worlds.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, right,
87%.
Yes. And now it looks like right now Sam is the most popular. What did Sam do that's so great that she was the decider?
That just happened, though. Jesse was at the top until about 2 minutes ago. I think there's some people out there probably just tweeting up the storm.
Sam has been consistently high in the ranking. Drop down between 1 and 5th, or usually 2 and 5th.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Current rankings right now, Sam is 1, Jesse is 2, Lauren is 3, JR is 4, and Steve is at 5. So that's what's going on. I find a lot of the women on the show, at least the Lauren, Danielle, and Sam, pretty – I have a little bit of a tough time differentiating between the three, especially from the headshot.
But from the side boob shot, you know it's Sam.
Yeah, side boob Sam. That's right. Boy, that is, really Sci-Fi Network really steered into the curve with the reward challenge this week, did they not? How many times did we see the same exact clip of Danielle? I'm sorry, of Lauren and Sam in the hot tub together?
Yeah, I like their idea of the spa is okay. The two of you get to share a bathtub.
But yeah,
they do. Fine by me.
Boy, lots of interesting blurring going on there in the scene in the bathtub, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, really.
One of the things I noticed about that, though, is it seems like these cameras, they're like in the rooms walking around with them. It's not like they've got windows going around. So that makes complete sense why they can't have live feeds like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. As much as we kind of thought there was some Big Brother element to this, there's a few stationary cameras in there, but it was very clear during some of the arguments today and last night, there are cameramen amongst them. And I think that adds a different kind of flavor to the house than you would see like in Big Brother.
Did you think that they might have added another pre-meeting before the two teams meet up meeting? And that was one of the areas where some things kind of got stirred up in this episode. I'll have to go back and watch, but it seems like there were more team discussions, like where the team was sitting around having these discussions for both teams.
Maybe. It seems like there's an awful lot we're not seeing.
Definitely, definitely. And it was really bizarre because we spent like at least 15 minutes between the last two nights over watching the footage of the girls in the bath. They were really into showing us that. And then there was like a really weird sequence tonight that was almost like comical talking about the differences between living in the future versus living in the past. Now, maybe they had been heeding some of the things that we had been saying. Boy, they got to figure out something on this live show because they need to really figure out a way to get some more content in this show because this hour is dragging on. But didn't you think that that was kind of a waste of time, the differences between living in the future versus living in the past?
It seems like something I could have covered earlier in the series, but I did kind of like the Sphero toy.
It was funny, but yeah. It was really no new ground was covered tonight in the live show.
Yeah, it seemed like that was a lot of stuff that they covered in the very first episode. I mean, we got to see that amazing toilet for a second time, which would scare the hell out of me, frankly.
Why would it scare you, Kurt?
It looks like it's going to bite you. I mean, it just kind of, if anything that automatically opens and closes like that when your pants are down, not something I want to be near.
Whoa. Okay. It's a friendly toilet, Kurt.
Yeah, I've seen 2001. I know what happens with electronics.
Yeah.
Hey, did y'all have any issues with the order of the punishments for Frank and Jesse? Like they told them to clean their poop first.
Yes.
And then,
yes. Well, let's go back and let's revisit that. Okay. So the punishment was that Jesse had to go be the slave over in the past, and then Frank volunteered to come with him, and they got to do anything they wanted them to do. So, Brian, why don't you take us through the order of events, and let's see if this makes sense.
Well, the original order announced was clean poop, chop wood, massage feet, and cook food. But they added start fire in there somewhere along the way, and they just let Frank give up on it.
Yeah. It seemed like they were just making it up as they went along. It seemed like they were so like, oh, we have people that are going to be our servants. All right. Have them clean the poop. Oh, that's great. It's like, oh, you're done with that? Okay. How about, foot massage. And then it was like, that was like the last thing they thought of was go cook our dinner.
I still think
you got to put dinner first.
Yeah, especially if you're cleaning poop first. I mean, it's like clean poop, don't wash hands, make dinner.
Yeah, poop has to go last because you don't want the poop in your food. I mean, I don't want the poop on my feet. And I don't want poop on my wood.
Yeah. That's it. Brian Lynch makes a great point. You never, ideally, you don't want the poop on your wood. Ideally. And so that's, look, it's a great point. I saw it on Twitter quite a bit. Antonio Mazzaro was tweeting to me about this. A lot of people had issue with, and as we've seen through 3 weeks of Opposite Worlds, Team Epoch makes questionable decisions. This much we know about them. They're nice people. They got Side Boob Sam. They've got some fun characters there, but they are not good strategists, and they make very questionable decisions.
And it seems like
an absolute train wreck.
They are a train wreck.
And it seems like America is going to keep giving them that chance to make terrible decisions week after week after week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. So there. Do you think that we're just going to go wire to wire, that Team Chrono stays in the future all the way to the end, Team Epoch stays in the past all the way to the end?
I still think that there is going to be at some point some sort of shuffle. So it kind of becomes a little bit hard to distinguish when you lose some people from a team and bring others in. So I think that there is going to be, I think there's going to be a shuffle that's going to make that point moot.
Did you feel like last night we missed out on a lot of opportunities to make Ghostbuster 2 jokes with the Vigo robot?
No, I don't think we missed out on that at all.
It's Vigo. We have to get him across the bridge. Did you like the robot?
I thought it was a fun challenge.
Yeah. I like the challenge too.
Yeah.
And the fact that they showed Sam first, I mean, I was thinking, she's doing a very good job. She's very calm, collected, controlled. They made the comment that no one ever fell down during that challenge. And you see Danielle fall down during the Chronos challenge. I thought that we were going to be led to, it was hard to tell obviously who was going faster. So I thought that we actually saw a chance for Team Epoch to win there, and was disappointed they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when Epoch got stopped, they had to stop and maneuver around and get positioned. When Danielle fell, she was just being dragged through the mud by Frank. Like,
it was a very Joel and Chet moment here on Opposite Worlds.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Now, did you think that the robot was a little pretentious, that he needed a red carpet to get across the bridge?
Yeah, he needed to get over himself.
Well, there was so much mud on the pieces, right? He didn't want to get his wheels slick or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was one of the things about, you remember when the number three, when Kronos was bringing that back, and it was covered up with mud, mm-hmm. and Jesse said he couldn't see it. Well, Luke chimed in and said, you have to clear that number off. And in my mind, that's just clear assistance, right? It doesn't matter if it takes them 20 minutes to figure out that, you know, which side the number's on, because they're blind. He was acting as their eyes at that point.
But I think.
And then another time, like right at the end, when they didn't get the piece into like perfect, he says, you got to lock that piece in. And they were all running away and they had to run back. And that's just time gained for that team.
I think, though, that because the piece was a perfect square, they could have put it in any way they wanted to. And I think Luke was just saying, no, you can't just put it in. You have to put it in the right way. And so maybe it was too much to say that you have to clear off the mud. And maybe it would have just been enough to say you have to make sure that the three is positioned properly. But I think, and also in terms of moving on to the next piece, I think the one piece has to be locked before you go on to the next one. I think Luke was just telling them, you can't go on. You're not done yet.
All right, well, let's take a look forward into
that's
what's
fair.
Gonna,
I
what's
guess ultimately it doesn't really matter.
And one more note, I was surprised that, like, I think on other shows you might have seen some editing to suggest, you know, Jesse was the big proponent for going in the past, and he was the person that controlled how successful their team was going to be. I was wondering if we were going to see Jesse try to throw the challenge by messing people up, acting as a mole for their team, but he seemed to, you know, power through it and do his best.
Yeah, I agree, Kurt, because I felt like they were going to put Jesse in charge. I thought he was going to throw the challenge, especially when they sat Mercy out. I felt like, oh, here we go. But then, no, they just won the challenge. And then I thought they were going to win the challenge, and then I thought they were going to accept to go to the past, and they didn't do that either.
Nope.
Yeah. So Mercy must have a lot of pull in the future house.
Mercy me.
Have mercy. Yeah.
I think they scared of her.
She was very intimidating. She was really like going off on poor Jesse.
Well, yeah, just took it out of my face, and she went.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody was uncomfortable, like just that the shattering on the table. I mean, like Danielle and Lizette had no idea where to look, and it was awesome.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the punishments and rewards that are available for next week. All right. So we have two choices here. Choice number one is Jesse gets the reward to pick the other team's protected person, which I guess is interesting. I'm not sure who he would select for that. And if you reward Jesse with that, the punishment is that Jeffrey can't be the protected one. So that seems like a win-win if you also are somebody who's voting down Jeffrey. Or choice number two is Jesse would get strategy time with a player from the other team, and the punishment is that Jeffrey would get imprisoned alone overnight.
Which he's kind of already done.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I can't see the team giving Jeffrey protection anyway. And I'm not sure to what extent, you know, we know that Danielle was chosen as the protected this time because she was the highest scoring person on her team in terms of popularity last week. It's unclear if you can give people back-to-back or repeat protection, but I can't see Jeffrey getting protection anyway. And yeah, I don't know. I'd almost rather see Jesse get strategy time with someone from the other team. It would just depend on if Luke Tipple told him, now you get strategy time as opposed to you get one-on-one time, or it would depend on how it was positioned to everybody.
And I like choice one. I'd like to see Jesse be the other team, pick the other team's protected. And I would like to see Jeffrey in the Duel of Destiny also. So I'm all in on choice one.
Jeffrey might end up in the Duel of Destiny regardless. Yeah. It seems like choice two, there might be, if you went with choice two, there might be an opportunity for Jesse to kind of expose Jeffrey with this other player on the other side. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It would expedite some drama if you chose to.
Yeah. When Jesse was given the punishment of having to go to the other side and clean house, I was actually disappointed that he had to bring somebody with him, because I was hoping that he would turn it into an opportunity to also chat a bit with the team. But by bringing Frank along, you didn't really get to do that. So I'm personally torn between giving Jesse which power to give Jesse. But if Rob has a plan, it wants to give Jesse the the ability to make someone protected, then I shall vote in line, sir.
Okay. By the way, if you want to watch the girls take the bath, again, it's available for download on the Sci-Fi website as well. So they really want you to watch that clip.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So was there anything else from the episode? Do you want to jump into some questions?
Jump in.
Well, let's jump into some questions here. Talking about Opposite Worlds here live, hashtag RHAP, or go ahead and post your questions on the YouTube video itself. And Scott St. Pierre, he has compiled all the questions. He's pulling a triple header this week, as well as Kurt Clark, three nights in a row. Great job by the guys who are helping me make you guys fill your have your iPhone filled with nonsense as we go along here on another big week on Rop as a Podcast. Here we go. So first question from Atheist Burrows wants to know, do you think the live episodes are getting better? They seem to be using more exciting clips before the duel. We talked about this a little bit, but it seems like they are making some progress.
I enjoyed this one more than last week's. It did seem like last week they were out in the cold for the entire time. But I enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're kind of learning and adjusting and learning and adjusting. And it's a shame they only get 6 weeks to do it. But I think it is getting progressively better week over week.
Okay. Next question. Edward Morris wants to know, do you think it really matters which Angela picked? I guess that whether she would have picked to be the chaser or the chasee. What do you think of that giant coin that Luke Tipple had? Would a regular size coin have not worked?
Maybe a regular size coin would have gotten lost in the mud. I don't think that was regulation.
That was a coin? I thought it was an Epoch dinner plate.
Oh, I am here and I have a Bitcoin, which is the currency of the future, and we're going to flip it. That would be perfect. All right. Edward Morris wants to know, was it worth whatever money they put into that challenge to have it last only 15 seconds? Yes, because it was amazing. It was. I watched it again. I watched it two times before we did the thing.
I could watch it seven times.
Had time to watch it. Yeah, 15 times. Amazing. It was great. I loved it.
Did that challenge last longer than the Big Brother All-Stars Volcano Challenge where Mike Boogie leapt off before Julie Chen could even announce the start of the challenge way back when?
I don't know, Brian.
Frank is challenging Mike Tyson knockout times.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it was a letdown after last week's Duel of Destiny was a really good one. This week's was kind of a letdown as far as a close matchup, but it was great as far as something to watch. Okay.
You'd think you could have done actually 2 out of 3 on this one, given that it was like a short 1 minute time frame. And I've seen challenges like this on other shows where they would do like 2 out of 3.
Sure. All right, here we go. Next question from Beth. She wants to know, is strategy for Kronos to let Epoch be the decider and then let them put one of their strongest against their weakest? Is that what they're going for? Is just to let the other team pick the, like, they should be voting for Team Epoch to decide every week.
Like, let's be a bunch of you know pricks over here to ensure that they actually get to decide and yeah, let them rule their own fate and in a bad direction.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't you have to go hands off on even trying to touch Frank and Jesse now in the comp if you become decider?
Yeah, you would think. Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
I would say, yeah, unless you're at a point where there's somebody on your team that you're trying to get rid of. I mean, I could potentially see now that Team Kronos is two people up, they could put Jeffrey in if they really just wanted him out against someone strong from the other team. I don't know if that's wise, but yeah, unless you want the person to be demolished, it seems you don't want them to touch Jesse or Frank.
Well, there was a conversation that was had, and I can't remember which of the women had this conversation, but somebody brought up the idea of, hey, why don't we put Frank, we got to get Frank up, and let's just put Frank up and try to get him out, because if we get him out, then he's like a truck, and then we can take over the other side of the house if they have Frank. And somebody said, yeah, but he's so good in the challenges. If we lose to him, and I think it was Angie who said, "Oh, look, that's just negative thinking. You're thinking negative." But you know
right.
what? That's not negative thinking. This was a bad plan.
Right. When Angela first came up with the plan to go after Frank, she was pitching it to Sam. And Sam said, well, what if we all get beat by him? And she said, that's thinking something. That's
cynical?
No, I'll find it just a minute. But anyway.
Stinking thinking.
Yeah, that was
small ball thinking is what she was saying.
Yeah. No, yeah,
I do like, it seems like they're taking that strategy of, okay, let's decide who's probably going to be best in this challenge based on the description, and then let that person decide who they actually would want to go up against. And Angela, it looked like she was actually given that choice, and she did end up choosing Frank herself.
Yeah. Angela told Sam that that would be focusing on the negative, and that's what turned Sam around and made, and she then made the pitch to America that we're going to take out Frank. So that statement right there just completely wiped her mind of any concern she had about the plan.
Right now, bigger mismatch, Team Epoch versus Kronos or Seahawks versus Broncos?
It's like a microcosm of the real world. So yeah. I think it's in parity here.
Right now, it's halftime in opposite worlds, and it's more than 22-0 right now.
I wonder if the future world team, if the Team Kronos actually got to watch the Super Bowl, because it seems they've got video games. Like every time you see them, you seem to have the Team Epoch stretching and doing yoga and limbering up, and then the camera pans over to Team Kronos, and they're drinking wine and playing video games. It's literally like that live shot where they pan from one to the other. It's like opposite worlds.
It really is. It truly is.
It really is.
It's appropriately named. Okay, let's do Rosiette. Who won, or is that Roslet? Have Epoch disadvantaged themselves by focusing too much on getting to the future rather than winning the duels of destiny? So are they misguided in their strategy to try to focus on weakening them to get to the other side of the house? Or should they have been much more focused on just taking out one person at a time like Wyatt had suggested?
I don't see any advantage to going to the other side of the house. I mean, what's the advantage to being... to winning a worldly challenge and going to the future. I mean, if I want a worldly challenge, I want to be in the future, but why would you? I mean, it doesn't do anything for you in the game.
Do you need me to list the advantages of being in the future? One, heated toilet seat. Two, cool toys. Three, champagne. So that's three reasons right there, Brian.
These are material things, though, Rob. And material things sometimes make us...
Four, shower that has a nozzle that sprays any way you want it, okay?
Five, toothbrushes that are not sticks.
Yeah.
But I think it's like if they resign themselves to playing a game of Survivor, and then if they get lucky, they'll win a reward challenge and get to the other side of the house, they might do better with that mindset.
Yeah. All right, a few more questions here. Let's go to Keith Dixon. He wants to know, when is the time for Team Kronos to get Frank out? How about a quarter to never?
Yeah. I mean, unless they know what the end game is, they really can't answer that question.
Yeah. Don't worry about Frank.
The time to get Frank out is when you have to go up against him yourself. That's when you need to get Frank out.
Yeah, don't worry about Frank. Why don't you worry about Lizette or Mercy or somebody like that? Or Danielle. Knock one of those people out. How about instead of, you know, asking out the prom queen, let's just try to see if we could get a date with one of the girls in student government first, okay? Let's crawl before we can run here and knock Frank out in the Duel of Destiny. How about that, Team Epoch?
Really what they need to do is take out Jeffrey because he's got the, you know, he's in alliance with one of their people, but they don't know. I don't know what they know about that.
Yeah.
And it sounded like Jeffrey, if Danielle had won the viewer's choice to pick, it sounded like he was definitely going to be the one to be going in. So they're definitely focused on getting him in.
Yeah, definitely. I would have liked, I really want to see Fry go into the Duel of Destiny.
Is Kronos going to throw him out as a sacrificial lamb next week and just give one to Epoch?
But they don't get to pick. That's the problem. They would if they could pick.
They might. if they would go into the thing when they make their plea, whoever they decide, if they go in there like, yo, America, we will boot Jeffrey's ass right on out of here.
Yeah. No, what they need to do is win the Duel of Destiny, go to the other side of the house, then they'll be the decider for the week, and then they could get Fry out of the game.
Well, no, I like what Brian has suggested, though. It's like when the decider makes their plea to America, say, hey, we recognize that you put Jeffrey on the bottom 2 out of the 3 weeks. If you pick me, I promise you I will put him in against something because we want him out just as bad as you.
No,
something
that's right.
Like that. Because Danielle's plea, like I liked Sam's plea at the end. She said, we want to get Frank out. We want to get Frank out. Whereas Danielle's plea was kind of cold, like a little bit lukewarm, and it wasn't really appealing. A little Luke Tipple. And I'm not surprised that it was 87% to 13% this time.
Yeah. All right. Moving in the right direction, though.
Yes. All right.
Here we go. Brian Scally, can we assume at some point this will become an individual game? If that seems likely, shouldn't Epoch want to attack Cronus's numbers rather than their stronger players? Well, we've been saying this for quite some time, but I don't know. What does the individual game of Opposite Worlds look like?
You'd have to have a house with 10 different time periods or something, wouldn't you?
Does everybody live in the future for a day and then everybody goes to the past, the individual, when they have the merge?
I have no idea how that would work.
I don't know. All right.
But yeah, maybe it does, like if it gets down to, I was joking a little bit about the Royal Rumble, but maybe it does get down to some sort of individual 6-person one-on-one challenge at the end. Maybe that's how this whole thing caps off.
A ladder match?
There you go. Steel cage.
Josh Mims wants to know, how happy do you think Wyatt is about tonight's outcome? I don't think Wyatt is happy about this outcome at all. When I interviewed Wyatt, he said that Angie was the only person that he was rooting for from Team Epoch.
He's probably happy that that Jesse was chosen as the favorite because like those are his one and two, Angela and Jesse.
Yeah. So he Wyatt is not happy. Yes.
Can we talk about how Steve dodged having to go up against Frank?
Steve had a quiet week this week, and Wyatt had a lot to say about Steve in my interview with him. But it was a quiet week for Steve here on Tuesday and Wednesday nights.
And I've never watched competitive Quidditch. I'm no expert on competitive Quidditch. But if it involves a lot of running around, this actually might have been a good challenge for Steve to go into.
Yeah.
It actually involves brooms flying.
Well, then if he had the zip line, he could have actually maybe done amazing on this.
That was on King of the Nerds a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
He would need a demeanor to come down and attack Frank.
Sure. Sounded funny. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Okay.
And Jeffrey is the golden snitch.
Yeah. Quiet week for Steve. Looks like Steve has a good alliance going on with JR, though, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Steve strikes me as a more of a alliance by himself kind of guy, that he would throw any of these people under the bus in a heartbeat.
Brian, you don't think that Steve and JR are the new Chilltown of Team Epoch?
I mean, it makes sense that you would get scared of becoming the last guy on a team because the other team could target you and get you out just by throwing you up against Frank.
Okay.
That's what it is. If you're the last guy, you end up against Frank.
That's it. All right. A couple more questions. Nick 2S, our buddy, how would you think it would have gone if Frank and Angela's roles were reversed? Probably exactly the same, right? But we think a few seconds longer. 20 seconds?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Like, unless Frank froze, we had to decide whether to go to obstacle A or obstacle B to avoid her. If his brain seized up and he couldn't move, maybe she'd catch him.
All right. This is from Brandon M. Wants to know, will the next worldly challenge be a recreation of a softcore porn bathtub scene in order to give Team Epoch a chance?
We're hoping.
With sure. Honey slapping.
Well, yes, with slapping also. Oh my God!
Because we had like a medieval challenge last week, and this was a future challenge with the robot with Vigo. Maybe it's like a 1970s challenge, worldly challenge next week, and we get that bathtub scene you're looking for.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Too much to handle on sci-fi. This is. Very ballsy also on a week when they moved the time slot up to 8 p.m. to the family hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. One more question. This is from Chocolate Chuck. Wants to know, would you recommend watching this show to a diehard Survivor, Big Brother, MTV Challenge fanboy? What do you think?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I would.
Some purists will just not watch a show that's not what their favorite show in the world is. The people that like Survivor and Big Brother, I think they would like the show.
Yeah,
I hear diehard fanboy. I think extremely against the. They're going to be against the idea from the very beginning. They'd be judging it the entire way. I don't think they would enjoy it. I think someone who enjoys all of those shows and isn't a diehard fanboy would enjoy this.
Yeah, you know what? If you're an MTV Challenge fan, okay, at least that's on right now. But there is no Survivor on right now. There is no Big Brother on right now. So this is the only game in town. It's 6 weeks long. And, I mean, what else are you watching at this time?
Exactly.
And then we get to talk about it. It's fun. Lighten up. Give it a shot.
I've enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
I'll watch it again if it comes on again.
You will be on board for Opposite Worlds too, Brian Lynch?
I am. I've been entertained. I mean, they've had some things that, I mean, happen, like the broken leg and some things that maybe the show don't go like we want it or whatever all the time, but they obviously working their ass off and trying to give us a good product, and it's been entertaining.
Brian, has any of the contestants who are out of the house, have they been active on Twitter since they got out?
Rachel has been active on Twitter. She was probably active on Twitter before she left the house, though.
So. Yeah, has she been saying anything interesting?
Well, she's a gamer girl. She talks about her games and stuff. I mean, I don't know that she all the time. Well, I don't sit and monitor her, actually. I mean, she could be saying all sorts of trash about these people, but she don't strike me as the vindictive kind of person. I just haven't seen that out of her.
And Brian, have you heard any buzz about Big Brother Canada, which is less than a month away now, right? Or 1 month from tonight?
March 5th is the premiere.
4 weeks from tonight.
And I feel the buzz within my body.
Okay, but you have not heard any rumors or any twists or anything like that?
Oh, well, it's not going to be a twist like we have a twist in the U.S. where there's a twist going on for a long period of time and then it just ends. Big Brother Canada is all about twist after twist after twist after twist in your face, and it's just a completely chaotic experience.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Very, very excited. All right, so... But Kurt, this is the end of like a road trip for us. Three nights in a row, three podcasts in a row.
Yeah, not sure what I'm going to do with myself.
I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. It's like you have to go back to the other side of the house now.
Yeah, where there's no computer.
Now, when I speak with Angela this week, what are some things you guys would want to hear from Angela?
Is there anything that she thought she could have done to have won that challenge? Like when she saw what it was mapped out in front of her, did she have an alternate strategy that she wished she'd employed?
Yeah.
Does her defeat by Frank lessen her trust in the guidance that flows through her that allowed her to make that choice to face him?
Yeah, I need the guidance. I need to be getting more in touch with the guidance.
And I liked your questions of Wyatt in terms of the things that he's learned since he has left the house that he didn't know what surprised him the most. I think that got a lot of interesting responses. So is there anything that surprised Angela that she's heard since she's left the house? I know she doesn't have a lot of time between tonight and when you talk to her to actually watch everything, but that'd be interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff. I'll see if I get a hold of Angela later on during the week. And if I do, I will definitely get let you guys know and put that show up for you guys. And of course, we're also going to be previewing The Walking Dead season 4.2, the second half of the season, the back nine of The Walking Dead. We're going to preview that as well later on this week. So stay tuned to Rob Has a Podcast. Subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for the audio feed. And you can click the subscribe button on YouTube if you are watching us in the YouTube universe. All right. So guys, thank you so much for being a part of this show tonight. And thank you guys who watched us live. And thanks to Scott St. Pierre. If you want to see more Opposite Worlds updates and live shows, you can always subscribe to this YouTube channel by clicking the button here on YouTube or by going to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. All right, guys, ready to reconvene next week?
Let's do it.
Yes. Royal Rumble.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on the new time slot for Opposite Worlds?
It felt a little bit more rushed on this end, but and probably can only imagine on. I'm glad I'm not a West Coaster trying to get here at 7 or whatever time it ended up airing out there for you to watch. So,
thumbs up for me. I like this. I like the earlier time slot.
I'm good for whatever.
Really good for whatever. All right. All right. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for watching us live. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.